Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
There is a lot there.
Oh, my goodness. Where do we start?
Is it possible to push the fan film room to 2:30? I know it's...
Oh, yeah, because we went over.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. We are going to give something away right now.
Yeah, we got a giveaway.
Zach Brown Band.
Talk to me.
Giveaway.
Cold beer on a Friday night. Pair of jeans that fit just right.
Fiddler's Green Amphitheater. Radio. September 17th and 18th.
Sweet Annie.
Tickets go on sale this Friday at noon at AXS.com. Mm. All right? We're giving away a pair of tickets before you can buy them. Caller number 4 right now at 303-713-1043 is going to win those tickets. Love.
They have been my favorite for a long, long time. Now, there's a few that have tied them, but their concerts are just off the charts. Love it.
Never been, but I'm going to be there this summer with you, and we'll be ripping it up. All right.
Wait, who are you going with?
You. It's us. This is we.
No, it's I.
This is we.
I. This is an I show for me.
If I go to Stanley's after the show today with you,
I'll buy you a cigar. How about that? That's all I'll treat you.
Oh, Lord.
But where are we starting,
man,
with this thing?
I mean,
where do we start?
There's so
because,
much right there.
You know, we can start with Deshaun Watson. I just think that, you know, like James said, the buzz around, you know, the NFL circles is he's probably not going to play this year. And if he doesn't play this year, man, that's a whole year off. How much would you trade for Deshaun Watson at that point? Like, if everything's cleared, no thing, you know, but he didn't play at all this year. I mean, I just think his market just plummets.
I think you're off on that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I think you're onto something, but you're ultimately off the mark. You're onto something that his value has decreased, but I think this is still, John Clayton called him the fifth best quarterback in the sport. I think that's fair. He'll be 26 years old after that year off. I mean, if it was 3 firsts and 2 starters before, maybe it's 2 firsts and 1 starter, 2 firsts and 2 starters, 2 firsts and 2 second. I still think it'd be a massive haul. And by the way,
I just have a hard time pulling the trigger on a guy like that now.
I understand that. I totally understand.
I'm all for second chances. You know, but man, this is just it's a bad deal. And it's hard when that's the face of your franchise that you're rolling out there, you know, and for the public and the fans. I mean, that's a hard thing to do.
We've seen it over and over.
I know we have.
Seen it over and over. And he put it perfectly. He said, if Mike Vick could come out of jail, guy did some time. All right.
Yeah.
He came out and was an MVP candidate.
Yeah.
And
right.
is currently, you know, goes on. The circuit. And
I think these are two totally different things.
Speaks at PETA events.
No, I know. I think these are two totally different things and how they're playing out and what has happened here.
They are totally different.
But don't
forget, there was rallies outside of the Eagles Stadium against Michael Vick.
I saw the thing, and I saw what happened. But he was very sorry for his actions and took steps to rectify.
Yep.
And he's done a lot of great things since then. Done a lot of great things to
no
help,
question.
You know, PETA, the cause,
yep.
animals, everybody loves animals, dog. I mean, so he's done a lot of great things since then
yep.
To really rehabilitate himself. What is Deshaun Watson going to do? That's what I would need to kind of see.
I think it'll be a full court forgiveness tour.
Really?
I think it would be, yes. That's the only route to go.
He would have to stand up there and say,
yes.
Man, I did some bad, bad things.
And that's what he needs to say.
Right.
And that's what he needs to say.
I think he'll do that.
Yes.
Because he has yet to do anything close to that.
I think he's being told to keep his mouth shut.
Sure, of course.
And I think that it's the only route that he can go.
That's right.
I do.
I agree with you.
Any other route than that is going to, I know for me, fall so far short. It's got to be.
You got to own it.
And it's got to be real.
Yeah.
And look, you mentioned how much people love dogs.
Yes.
Mike Vick was zapping them with car cables and drowning them. All right. He did hard time and came out of jail.
Yes.
An NFL team took a chance on him.
Yes.
Ray Lewis was involved in catching a body and was the face of a franchise for a decade and a half. So to think that this couldn't happen.
I don't know about that last one that you. You're a little bit off there.
You can look at Kobe Bryant. Think about Kobe Bryant's reputation was so far. I mean, it was. Look at Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen this over and over again. So I would.
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of cases out there that you've seen people be able to rehabilitate their images. So I think in the end, you're right. But he's going to have to own it. He's going to have to own it. If not, we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. I just think that his market, especially if he doesn't play this year, will. And I think I might have been coming off plummet. Yeah, I think so. I think plummet might have been too big of a word.
I think an NFL team will say we'll deal with the backlash. It's going to last 6 months to a year,
right?
But if this guy goes out and plays good football, you know how NFL fans are.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So, man, it's a tricky conversation. The whole thing is sticky. I don't like it. It's complicated. We don't know all the details.
Mm. Yeah. It's,
I mean, look at Big Ben. I mean, the examples are endless.
Right. What is it? 30-something massage people?
It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's beyond. No, it's not just weird. I mean, it's like sociopath type of stuff.
Yeah.
It's just. Weird would be, I'm not going to define what weird is, but whatever he did, it crosses through the threshold of weird, gets into
the other galaxy.
Yeah.
The more we talk about Aaron Rodgers, the more I'm thinking, no. I mean, because I go into the general manager's shoes. This is the guy that obviously you have a Super Bowl team. What happens if you trade Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love stinks? How do you look? You're the guy that ran. All of a sudden, the fans flip. The fans flip on you, right? The fans might be in your corner right now. Like, oh, Aaron Rodgers, because they've been spoiled in Green Bay. Green Bay fans are spoiled. That's why they're booing him on the car commercial because, hey, we'll just go get another quarterback.
That's all they know is franchise quarterbacks.
How dare you, Aaron? Call out the organization, the general manager for, drafting the quarterback. Like, they don't look at it like James. They haven't given him any weapons. They haven't helped him out a lot. And you're that general manager. You run this guy out of town. He goes, and all of a sudden you stink. And that quarterback that you drafted to run him out of town stinks. How do you look?
Man.
You look like a clown.
It'd
like
the
biggest
be
clown
the worst
ever.
Look ever.
You go
yep.
from a Super Bowl contender to an afterthought to a team, a bad football team. What do you think the fan? I mean, you're going to be the face of one of the worst decisions ever.
You'll be the face of dartboards.
Yes.
One of the worst decisions
ever in the history of NFL, of sports. You moved up to get a quarterback, and the next year your quarterback won an MVP, and then you traded him. To go with that quarterback, and you stunk.
It
fell on your face.
It would be the worst aging decision ever.
It just can't happen. And they haven't said glowing things about Jordan Love, like, oh, this guy's ready.
Yeah, how about that report last week saying that
he's not ready. Ooh, no.
I guess I didn't realize during the season, and we never had to even approach this because Aaron Rodgers threw 48 touchdowns and had 5 picks and was the MVP of the league, but I didn't realize that Jordan Love wasn't even the backup. It was a third string inactive all season.
I don't read a ton into that.
No.
But at the same
part
time,
of the plan that on game days, Jordan Love's not going to be around.
But at the same time, you think about it and say, why wouldn't he be? Why wouldn't he be the backup? Like, he's got to be really behind to not even be the backup. There's no thought of, possibly, replacing Aaron Rodgers with this guy. Like, what, a couple years ago, remember, it was Joe Flacco and Drew Locke.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not comparing them, but that there was a lot of talk like, hey, when's he going to replace?
Yep.
When's Drew Locke going to replace Joe Flacco?
Yep.
So they tried to squash that, right? So there was none of that talk in Green Bay because Aaron Rodgers was balling. So if your guy's ready, you spend a first-round pick, you want him as your backup over who? Who was the other guy? Who was the backup? last year?
Oh, my gosh.
I'd never heard of the guy. Whatever. Yeah. I mean, whoever. It made no sense, right? Makes no sense. So that tells you that Jordan Love's, they thought he stunk last year. He wasn't even close to being ready, or he would have been the backup. It ain't happening. It's not happening. Come on, Mark. Come on. Come on.
Gosh.
I got him twice today.
Come on.
Come on. It's not happening. And by the way, I'm telling you, remember what I told you about the Joker? That one day I said I was a little bit behind, but then I made up for it?
Yeah.
At that 12:30 break that we had?
Yeah.
That triple down? What I did? Well, today at Stanley's, I'm putting it in. I'm locking in. First snap with Green Bay.
First snap with Green Bay?
It's going to be with Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers, first
snap.
It's going in. I'm locking it in. I feel that confident about it. It's good odds right now, too. Green Bay's the favorite. I think they're like minus 125 or so, or something, 135, and Broncos are next at plus 135. They can't trade him. Can't.
Don't say can't.
They can't.
Don't say can't.
But everything I said tells me they can't trade him, and that's why
everything
I'm saying can't.
Everything that you just said is true.
That's why I say can't.
But that doesn't mean they won't do it. It doesn't mean they won't do it.
Even I guess some people are dumb, and you don't think they're dumb, and some people do dumb things.
Yes.
So I guess they could.
Moving up to draft Jordan Love in the first round was a dumb decision when Aaron Rodgers told you he wants to play into his 40s.
Because I can't make myself think like dumb people and do dumb things, right? So I have a hard time. That's why I say can't, but you're right. Dumb people do dumb things, and they've already done it once.
They've done
it. Why would they might do it again. You're right, Zach. You're right. So I'm not going to say can't. I'm going to say, but somebody's going to shake this guy, whether it's the CEO of the team or the head coach, and say, you can't do this, dum-dum. Like, you can't do this. Don't be, you know.
But here's the thing, Stoke. Here's the thing. If Aaron Rodgers, who, you know, didn't send his mom a Mother's Day card because he's so dug in, all right, doesn't talk to his brother, doesn't talk to his father.
We don't know the dynamics. We don't know the dynamics.
I don't know the dynamics. I just know what I know, that he doesn't talk to his family.
Right.
If he is dug in as a Packers organization, I think that eventually you are cutting off your nose to spite your own face by not getting the haul in return that is available to you right now for a 37-year-old.
What did James Jones tell you? What did John Kuhn tell you?
It was fixable.
So who told them that? Aaron told him that.
Aaron.
So that means that he realizes that this might be his best place to stay. So he's throwing that out there. He's getting that. So he's not as dug in as he is with his family. That's the way I view this thing. You're right. When Aaron digs in, it seems like he can be a little stubborn and hard-headed and, you know, just kind of like he can just put you aside and just not deal with you anymore.
You're out of the circle.
You're out of the circle. Out of the circle. But with the Packers, it doesn't seem like they're out of the circle. He just wants some things. And he's making it known to him. And I think they're going to give him those things. And they're going to make amends, and it's going to be fine. That's what I think is going to ultimately happen. Unfortunately, because, man, would I love to see him with Denver. And we were celebrating, and, man, you were taking phone calls and running off during our segment. Don't think I forgot that either. You jammed like you were Adam Schefter over there.
Dude.
What, did you or did you not?
I
was in this room. I saw you jam out of here.
I got a call from someone. Yeah, I'll tell you who it is during the break, and you would have taken that call, too.
No.
Yes!
Yes!
And by the way, the person...
Oh, my goodness. The more and more, it just looks like they can't trade the guy. And I think in the end, he realizes that he really doesn't want to be traded. They got a good thing going there. Just make him really, really happy. And just apologize profusely over and over and over again. That's what you have to do.
Oh, my God. This is wild, man.
Yeah, no, it is.
It is so wild.
But Aaron might be like he is with his family. And it might be no amending that fence. No mending that fence, excuse me. But I still don't think they trade him. I think they just say, okay, just retire then.
By tomorrow, we
because
may
that
have
makes
a...
him look bad.
Sure.
You know, then that makes him look bad. But if you trade him and he plays great and you stink, then that makes you look bad. It's about egos.
Man,
you don't want to look bad.
It really is, man. This is about ego and feelings and respect. It's a fascinating situation. All right. The fan film room.
Oh, yeah.
We've been waiting all day.
Yes, we have.
You were grinding over tape. I was grinding over tape, and I swear to God, there are things that happen in this football game, in my evaluation of Drew Lock against the Chargers, that you cannot make up. And one guy made me laugh out loud during the game.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to get to a Stokes breakdown of Bridgewater versus the Chargers, my breakdown of Drew Lock versus the Chargers, and we'll get to it next.
Welcome to the Fan Film Room. Drew Lock versus Teddy Bridgewater.
I was up front with Drew. Vic was up front with Drew. You know, our goal is to bring in competition to the room.
Ready to break down the film on the Broncos quarterback battle. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Ah, yes, the Fan Film Room.
Love it.
Makes its return.
I was thinking it was one a week, but it's one a day. It's like the, like, what were you saying? It's like the vitamins?
Yeah, the vitamin, one a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to know what? I'll say this. Yes, it does take time. You know, you to pull off the segment and to do it appropriately. Yeah, it does take some time. But I do think our listeners get a kick out of it.
And it's worth it. It really is, because I remember doing Melvin Gordon last year, right? We watched some of his film and his games. And, you know, the stuff that we said and saw on that film, that stayed with me all year.
Yep.
And so doing some of these guys, doing free agents that are coming in, and especially the quarterbacks. I mean, this is stuff that, you know, look, I don't know a lot about Teddy Bridgewater. Right? I mean, I can look at his stats, and I saw him play against the Broncos last year and obviously watched some of the games that Panthers played before the Broncos played him, but I didn't just study Teddy Bridgewater. So I don't know quite who Teddy Bridgewater is. You can look at his yards, his completion percentage,
et cetera. Yeah, but that doesn't tell the whole story, as yesterday showed us.
Exactly. So once you dive into this thing, you can really, you know who this guy is and not just what stats say or not just what his rep is.
Yeah, and yesterday was a good example.
Yes.
If you look on stats, you say, oh, he threw for 269 yards, had a touchdown, didn't turn it over. Pretty good. Gave his team a chance to win.
That's right.
You go cut on the film, and he missed five throws badly in the first half.
Yes.
So, yeah. All right. Do you want to go first, or would you like me to go?
You know, I'll go first.
Okay.
I think we'll leave Drew and that great game and the great comeback against the Chargers. I'm doing Teddy Bridgewater versus the Chargers. You're doing Drew Lock versus the Chargers and that great comeback there that they had in the fourth quarter. So I'm doing Teddy Bridgewater. I believe it was week three. Yep, week three, Chargers versus Carolina Panthers, Teddy Bridgewater. First play, shotgun. A run fake to the left. They get Teddy Bridgewater outside the pocket. He moves well. He does move well. Like, you know, he was in the shotgun. The running back's to the right. They kind of, you know, fake that run to the left, and he gets out of the pocket, a little bootleg outside the pocket, and he does move well. He's not a huge threat to run the football, but you could do some RPOs with him, and you see the Panthers do it, sprinkling in there a little bit, but you could do RPO just like you could with Drew Lock. I think they should do more RPOs with him, but Patty, for some reason, just doesn't do that a lot, and I was a little bit disappointed in that last year because I thought I would see more of that.
Patty,
got my one in, my one a day. That and my Mark Slayer shots.
You're getting more than one in there.
Yeah, but I saw it in training camp last year from the Broncos, but didn't see a whole lot during the season for whatever reason. But Teddy Bridgewater can do that, you know, because he is a mobile quarterback. He's just not the most – he's mobile but not athletic.
And there's a difference there.
Yeah. And you can get him out of the pocket. You can't – and he can be under center. He can be on the shotgun. You can get him outside the pocket there. First play of the next drive. Almost the same play as I talked about yesterday with Drew Lock. Remember the play I talked about with Drew Lock with a tight end, Noah Fant, right over the ball, 5 yards over the ball. What did Drew Lock do? Boom. Noah Fant was covered, double covered. Drew just took off and ran. I think he got 3, 4 yards, 5 yards on the play. Never got to his second read or his third read on that play. Just took off, and he had time. Looked at Noah Fant, covered, 5 yard route right over the football, covered. Drew just took off and ran. Nope, Teddy did a nice job. The tight end was covered once again, and Teddy did a really good job of getting to his second read, a wide receiver in the flat, 12-yard gain. Kind of shows you a little bit more experience, a little bit more calmness in the pocket, right?
Sure.
Tight end's covered. That's your first read. Okay, you got time. Go through your other reads. He did a nice job of getting it all the way out to the sideline to his wide receiver. Ends up being a 12-yard gain. Drew never got to his second read. You're smirking at me a little bit. I just feel like I feel a little bit insecure because you're smirking, and I'm not sure why. But I'll carry on.
No,
here.
Keep going. You're doing great, man.
I feel insecure now. I feel like I'm not doing great, and you're just saying that.
Keep going.
Like you tell your kid, you're doing great, but you're really not doing great. A few plays later, it was 3rd and 8. He gets pressure up the middle and does a nice job of escaping and almost gets the first down with his leg. Once again, you know, he is mobile. They had pressure right away, right in his face, and did a nice job of escaping to the left and almost picking up the first down there. And he can do that for you. He can do that for you with his legs. Next drive, 3rd and 7, he does a nice job of moving up in the pocket. Right. Sometimes we don't see enough of that with Drew Locke moving up in the pocket and throwing a strike for a first down. 2nd and goal from the 8. He has time and he hangs in the pocket, looks in the end zone, then throws a check down to the flat for a 3-yard gain. Not a big deal, right? But in the red zone, solid plays. That was a solid play from a vet quarterback. Yeah, those are the plays you're looking for. Sometimes it's not always about throwing it in the end zone on 2nd down and goal. Right. Sometimes if it's not there, take the check down, get you 3 or 4 yards. Now you're setting up a 3rd and goal from the 3. Big difference in 3rd and goal from the 7. So another veteran quarterback play there from Teddy Bridgewater. We got a 3rd and goal from the 6. He's got a wide open guy in the flat, but he's fooled. He thinks he's wide open in the flat and he rushes it, gives it to him right away. Doesn't let the play develop, and incomplete pass there. So, didn't see a lot of that from Teddy Bridgewater. Usually when he goes to his checkdowns or his quick passes, the guy's open and completed. But in this case, Chargers defense fooled him. Thought he had a guy that was going to be open with what they did defensively, threw it to him. The safety broke on it, and it was an incomplete pass.
We're breaking down Teddy Bridgewater versus the Chargers in our fan film room edition. Stokely watched the tape and is telling us some of the things that he learned about Teddy Two Gloves.
Teddy covers. 1st and 10, good field position after getting a turnover, and Teddy does a nice job on this. He got a slant route, like a 3-4 yard slant. Boom, receiver puts his foot in the ground and goes towards the post. A quick 3-step drop, okay? And Teddy does a nice job there being patient once again. Usually you hit it right when the wide receiver comes out of the break, like bam. Sometimes you have to wait to that second window. There's a linebacker that drops over there. Mm. So sometimes you have to wait on that back foot and wait for that receiver to get to that second window. And Teddy did a nice job of being patient, waiting for that receiver to get to the second window. And then, you know, threw a strike to the wide receiver, and they end up getting a nice gain there. So once again, veteran quarterback play there from Teddy Bridgewater. Another play. 3rd and 4. Chargers bring pressure, and Teddy does a nice job of finding the open wide receiver quick and getting rid of the ball for a first down. Once again, pressure on Teddy. He sees it. He knows it. Boom, he had a slot receiver on the left, actually covered by Chris Harris, and saw the pressure in his face right away. Does a nice job of recognizing pressure and getting rid of the football to the open wide receiver first down. Drew Locke last year, see, has too many times right there. He wouldn't have recognized it. He would have taken a sack or thrown an interception in that play. On a play like that. So Teddy Bridgewater doing a good job and being able to recognize pressure. That's what the veteran quarterback brings to the table. Now, it's not perfect from him. And then really the one deep ball that he did throw. I mean, it wasn't many deep balls that game. One deep ball down the left sideline to DJ Moore did complete it for a big gain. But most of his passes are, you know, the short intermediate passes.
Yep.
You don't see a lot of balls down the football field. And that's what I saw in the Chargers game. And they did end up winning that football game. They beat the Chargers for their first win of the season. I think it was week 3. Yes, week 3.
Yep.
First win of the season. But he did a good job. There was a couple throws there that were errant. Not as many as the previous game that I scouted, which was week 1.
Yep.
Against the Raiders, where
yep.
he had 5 in the first half and 2 more in the second. Wasn't that right?
Yep.
Just inaccurate throws. This game, I believe the number was 2. So much better as far as his accuracy, recognizing things, and once again, probably just feeling more comfortable in the offense from Teddy Bridgewater. But he did a solid job. I don't have his stats. I feel like this game was much better from Teddy Bridgewater than the first game. And I don't care what the stats say. That's just my view of it, walking away and watching the film. Do you have the stats?
Mm-hmm. Bridgewater, week 3 against the Chargers was 22 of 28, so very accurate
yeah,
with the football.
Okay.
1 touchdown, did not have an interception. He was sacked twice. So, but they didn't have a Carolina rusher go over 46 yards. So
How many yards did he throw for? I don't think he gave us
235.
235. Okay. 22, 28 for 28, 235 yards. You know, you would like to have a little bit more yardage there. But once again, they won a football game. He was accurate with the football. He did a good job of getting rid of it, getting it in playmakers' hands and letting them do things with it. And they did take the one deep shot, which he was very accurate on, to DJ Moore down the left sideline for a big gain. So, overall, that was a really good game from Teddy Bridgewater.
It was good enough to win. They scored 21 points. They won 21-16. They went on a three-game win streak there after starting 0-2. I think they were singing Sweet Caroline in the locker room. You remember?
Sweet Caroline.
Yeah. You remember that? And so who's the coach? It was Matt Rhule, right? He was singing, and the whole team was singing along. And I remember seeing Robbie Anderson like, "What is this song?"
That's right.
He was like, "I've never heard this song in my life."
Oh my goodness. That's right.
And then they went on to lose eight of their next nine. All right. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. A lot of what you're sharing yesterday and today about Teddy Bridgewater is sort of like kind of what I know Teddy to be. I know we just hit on this a little bit yesterday, but, you know, accurate with the football. A lot of it is the intermediary stuff. Not a big down the field guy. And on most Sundays, if he plays well, he's going to give you a chance to win, but he's not going to do the heavy lifting for you. So it's interesting. I'm curious to see how the rest of the week goes.
Yeah.
But
just real quick, I see on the RamosLaw.com text line, because you got to break down Drew Lock. But real quick, somebody's asking about, can you explain RPO, who the run option is for, the quarterback or the running back? It's for both. The quarterback could hand it to the running back. The quarterback could fake it to the running back and keep it. And the quarterback could fake it to the running back, keep it, and then throw it. So it all depends on what the linebacker and the defensive end do. He reads those guys. So it's kind of one of those option plays that the quarterback can do three different things on it.
Yep. Hence the option, right?
Yep.
You got options.
Run, pass.
Or hand it off.
Sure.
Yeah. Perfect. You can run it yourself. You can hand it off or you can throw.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, I watched Drew Lock this morning, week 8.
Appreciate it. Really like the film breakdown. Keep it up. Appreciate it, because Zach was making me feel insecure there. I'm gonna try not to smirk when you're doing it. I'm gonna try to just like pump you up and be a good partner. But
you were doing great, man. You were
not
doing
sure
great.
Why you're smirking. Maybe I'll find out later why you were smirking.
I thought you croaked over there because there was about 4 seconds of dead air. You were gathering your thoughts, and I didn't know if I should help you out and be a lubricant for your film.
Exactly. Help!
But I don't want to get in your way.
Help! Anytime there's dead, like me, fill the air. That means I'm looking for something, because I have my notes on my phone, right? And sometimes you get the sentences mixed up and you get running, then you start talking about something else and you look back down, you can't find where you left off. And so that's where I was. And then, of course, you just think and sit there and leave me out to dry. You don't say anything. And, yeah, it's embarrassing for me, but you could be a good partner and lift me up. And then you start smirking the rest of the time. Unbelievable. This is what I deal with people.
Oh, man.
Carry on. Go ahead. I can't wait to hear Drew Lock. I'm looking forward to this, buddy.
Drew Lock, week 8 against the Chargers. I mean, it's a famous game.
Yeah.
I mean, he threw 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. I mentioned this in the past. It was the first time a Broncos quarterback had done that, going back to 2013 when 18 did it against the Texans. But I got to tell you, man, going back and watching this game, I was reminded just how dreadful the first 3 quarters of football were. I mean, it was you have the threshold of atrocious when you cross into atrocious.
Right.
It was atrocious.
Yeah.
It was
with the H on that thing.
They didn't get a first down until the second quarter. I mean, they couldn't get a first down on their first 3 possessions. I mean, it was brutal. In the first half, Stoke, 62 yards of offense.
Wow.
It was like, I'm going back and reliving it, and you relive some of these moments that we talked about during the season, but
62 yards
of total offense.
Wow.
In the first half, they couldn't do anything right.
And they ended up winning that game.
They ended up winning the football game. And really, you know what the spark was? Philip Lindsay, 56-yard touchdown run. That's what got them going. And I'm watching Phil going, I can't believe they just dismissed that guy. I mean, they really did.
Playing silly games.
We'll see how that ages. But that made the game 24-10. They did have 3 points. That's because Justin Simmons picked off Herbert. They couldn't literally earn a yard of offense, but they did kick a field goal because they had the field position. I laughed out loud, man, during the game. I swear to God, this morning. I laughed out loud because they threw a little screen pass to Austin Eckler, and Alexander Johnson comes, I mean, barreling down, and he breaks up the pass, but he didn't even tackle him because possession was never had.
Right.
But DeMarcus Walker picked up that football and ran it all the way into the end zone. And then when he got into the end zone, he did the little bunny dance. He put his two hands under his chin and jumped around like a bunny. Everyone else on the field is waiting for him to come back. And I'm like, this never had a chance. He knows it doesn't have a chance, but he's going to run it in the end zone and do a bunny dance.
It's his time to shine. Like, sometimes you have to take advantage of your time to shine even when it's not really a play. Like, hey, you know you might not have many opportunities like that to do the bunny dance, right? He's like, when is he going to make a big play to do the bunny dance? So let me just pretend like this is a big play, and I'm going to get my shine on. Everybody's going to be watching me, right? Love it. Good job, D-Wall.
Oh, my God. And then after the game winning extra point, DeMarcus Walker takes his helmet off, throws it down the football field, sticks his hands out with a are you not entertained gesture. I swear to God. Living legend.
Did he? I wish he would have taken the shoulder pads off and had the Living Legend shirt underneath
right.
it.
He chucked his helmet down the field. I mean, it was just classic. And then a fight broke out to end the game. It was awesome.
Wow, I don't remember the fight breaking out.
Yeah, after the extra point. It was just so fitting. It was just...
Somebody took a cheap shot on one of the Broncos' offensive linemen?
I believe so.
And I think was it Calvin Anderson?
I think so.
I'm not going to allow that to happen to this guy.
Yeah, and, dude, you're on it. Yeah. Good memory. But it was just hilarious. DeMarcus is throwing his helmet down the field, doing the Are You Not Entertained? And behind him, his teammates are in a fight. It's just like, you
can't need your helmet. Go get your helmet.
Like, you can't make this stuff up.
Well, we're about 6 minutes in this thing. I haven't heard one thing about Drew Locke. So do we have anything on Drew Locke, or is this just about the DeMarcus Walker film breakdown here?
Oh, my God.
I'm trying to look for some Drew Locke stuff.
So after the Phil touchdown, the very next offensive possession, scores now 24-10, and it's on first down, and it's just the cardinal sin that Drew Locke makes. It's just the cardinal back-breaking sin that we saw over and over. You know, you have a little bit of momentum after the 56-yard TD run, and it's first down. And it looked to me like Drew knew what he wanted to do before the ball was even snapped, regardless of what he saw. It's a quick pump fake to Jerry Jeudy, and he just chucks it long. It never had a prayer. The safety, Rayshon Jenkins, is literally, and the color guy says, he said Rayshon Jenkins is outside the numbers when the ball is thrown. I mean, he's just sitting there waiting to pounce on an interception, and that's exactly what happened. But it's one of these things where Drew is just kind of dialing it up and not actually in the moment reacting to what's happening on the field because that play didn't have a chance. And I can't believe they won after that was the next possession after the Lindsay score.
Because the Chargers take over the football in their territory, and it looks like they're going to, you know, go up by three scores. And, and the Broncos ended up getting an interception of their own in the end zone, which was a huge play, obviously. But you're
correct.
Right.
Yep.
Drew has got to, you can't know where you're going with the football and have that set in your mind before you see what the defense is doing, what they're taking away from you. I jumped in there a little bit and gave you a little breather so you could find your spot. Now you can go on.
Yes.
That's what you do for your partners.
I like this.
So tomorrow, when
we do this,
that's what I need from you a little bit.
I like this. Well, I have to walk in your shoes for a second to figure out, I actually have to get my bearings.
Right.
The next possession, following the interception, you know, this is what makes Drew this. I've been referring to him as this spot on my back that I can't itch, because I know that he led the league in picks. I know he was dead last in completion percentage, but he comes back after throwing that interception, and he hit Jeudy on a 43-yard passing play that was just on the freaking money. And it was a chance for a catch-and-run opportunity, and it was just a brilliant throw. Like, no two ways about it. It was just great. On this possession, they somehow, the possession, the Broncos this game were just unbelievable. Like, they had a delay of game on a kickoff. I don't know how that happened. How are you going to delay a
game where
the game's been delayed for you to get ready for your kickoff and you get a delay a game? They also had an illegal shift where the ref goes all 11 men. I mean, it was just classic stuff. But there was another brilliant pass from Drew Locke on the following possession. You'll remember this, Stoke. It was a 9-yard touchdown pass to Albert Okwuegbunam. That was in the back of the end zone, and Okwuegbunam comes down right on his rear end.
Yeah.
but it was a fingernail over the linebacker's hands, outstretched fingers. I mean, it was just a brilliant, threading, layered pass.
Yes,
where you
that's
are
right.
going right over that linebacker, and you're finding that sweet spot in the very back of the end zone, and it was just brilliant. I mean,
those are big time throws. You know, those are the money makers for quarterbacks, right? When you're in the red zone, tight quarters, can you find the guy? And like you said, I remember that play, and it was an unbelievable throw from Drew Lock.
There was also on the following possession. Now the Broncos are mounting this massive comeback. Drew's feeling great, and he puts it again on the money. On time, on target, in stride to Deshaun Hamilton. Now, on this play, the safety ends up coming off his feet.
Right.
I mean, it was a thank you, Lord, touchdown. And the broadcaster said that's actually an easy touchdown for Deshaun Hamilton because the safety on the opposite side in which he caught the ball, he literally just falls down.
Yeah.
And Deshaun just runs into the end zone. But this is what I'm talking about, the Chargers losing this game. Like, how that just happened out of nowhere, no one touched the safety, and he's just on his back. And Deshaun is crossing over the goal line. I had to make a note of this.
And I think it was an in cut. Was he breaking like straight?
Correct.
Yes. And those aren't easy throws, you know. So once again, very accurate throw from Drew. Nice job.
This is a game where Vic Fangio ends up with a bloody face and a Band-Aid on his grill and just blood all over his sweatshirt. I forget what happened. I thought someone headbutted him during the game when it was actually happening. But some of the stuff that happens with these Broncos games, you just can't make up. So I had to make a note of that.
Perfect.
Vic's got blood all over his sweatshirt and a Band-Aid on his face. And then,
trying to pass a kidney stone. How about that?
Right. And then the Broncos get the ball back after the Deshaun Hamilton touchdown. And they're just out of luck, man. The game's over. They're on the 20-yard line, and this game should have been over. With 1 second left, there is a pass interference call. It puts the Broncos on the 1 yard line with 1 second left. Drew scrambles right, and it was perfectly played by Drew in this moment. He scrambled enough to make it look like he could make a run for it and hit pay dirt. Rayshon Jenkins bails from his position toward Drew, and Drew puts it on the money for KJ Hamler, who nearly couldn't handle the pass, but his butt cheeks counted as a touchdown.
That's right.
So we had the double cheek game between Albert O and KJ Hamler. Just crazy. It was such a wacky game. I think watching it back, one of my biggest takeaways was that yes, it was a great comeback for the Denver Broncos, but that game was dreadful for three quarters of it. And the fourth quarter comeback did have some real circumstantial things happen for the Broncos that I'm sure I realized at the time. I'm sure we talked about it.
Yeah.
But, man, the Chargers, the Broncos deserve credit for that. Drew Lock deserves credit for the stuff that I did just give him credit for.
Sure.
But, by God, the Chargers, man, they absolutely blew it.
Yeah, and you know, that's good players, good teams take advantage of other teams' mistakes. And certainly, it wasn't pretty there. A lot of NFL games aren't pretty. You know, do you make the plays when they're available? Do you make the plays when you have to? And like you said, I mean, the Broncos had to make plays there down the stretch, and they did, and they delivered. And so that was a good one from Drew Lock, the way that they finished that one off.
That's the don't boo too early game. Hey,
that's right.
This was, that game had so much to it, by God, it could be a documentary. Hey, have a great afternoon. We'll run it back tomorrow.
Love it. Can't wait.
All right. Shout out our producer, John Simmer, behind the glass. You guys have a great day. We step aside. We got the drive coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.